Well, you know, when I think about that, I think of she's been there. God knows she's been there. She has seen and done it all. She's a woman. She knows how to dish it out or take it all. Her heart's as soft as feathers. Still she weathers stormy skies, and she's as she's an eagle when she flies. A kaleidoscope of colors, you can toss her round and round. You can keep her in your vision, but you'll never keep her down. She's a lover. She's a mother, she's a friend, and she's a wife, and she's a sparrow when she's broken, but she's an eagle when she flies. Gentle as the sweet magnolia, strong as steel, her faith and pride. She's an everlasting shoulder. She's the leaning post of life. She her steep, and when she weeps, she's as fragile as a child, and she's a sparrow when she. She's an eagle when she flies. She's a sparrow when she's broken, but she's an eagle when she flies. Oh, bless her, Lord. She's an eagle.
Subtlety, thank you. Not so much for subtlety. Turn me down a little bit. I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad you've had enjoyed yourself socializing and shaking hands. As you can see, we got some different faces and some newer faces and some older faces. And not older in a bad way. Older is haven't seen in a while kind of face. Not older than old. A familiar face, yes. And a face that's not forgotten. So we're glad to see faces like, I don't know, Julie. Appreciate seeing her this morning. So happy Mother's Day to you. Turn to Psalms 127 with me. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. And going to, of course, talk about the gift of motherhood and what God expects of you as mother, your responsibilities, and what God expects of you as a mom. In Psalms 127, how many of us know that we can't do anything outside of God's power, God's strength? We just can't do it. And one thing it mentions in Psalms is about our children, that we can't raise children, not really, outside of God's influence and God's strength. And so you have a great responsibility as moms, and you have many challenges. You have many struggles. I know sometimes you feel that no one understands you, that you're carrying more than you should. A lot of you may be single moms here this morning, that you're having to battle, you know, that with no father in the home. Some of you are battling maybe a broken or a poor marriage. You're trying to hold that together as a mom. Some of you are having maybe rebellious children you're having to try to keep a hold of and keep intact with, and that's a struggle as a mom. And you're probably at a point sometimes of like, I'm sure my mom, like, thank God, is grown, I'm out of that. But for many of you, we're going through it still, including myself, with our children. And we don't know the fruit of our reward sometimes for many, many years. But I want to encourage you, as a mom, keep doing what God has called you to do. Don't give up by what you see, what you don't see, by how they're acting now or not acting now. Do not give up on that. The greatest influence a child has, I don't care what they'll tell you, it's not Tupac, and it's not anybody else out in the world. The greatest influence a child has is their mother. They're not going to tell you that because they're not going to want you to know that. But they care what you think. They care what you say. They're listening with great intent, even when they're not acting like they're not listening, when they're doing this and ears are on. You say something? You know, like Matt does. You say something? Yeah, they're hearing you. They're hearing exactly what you're saying. And they are being influenced and shaped by that every single day. I promise you. Do not give up, mothers. Keep fighting the fight of faith for your children. Psalms 127, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Isn't that true? Except we put God first and the foundation is letting Him do it, it's going to crumble and it's going to fail. We have no power in ourselves to succeed or have any prosperity. We have no power in ourselves for our kids to turn out the way we want, or our marriages, or our homes, or our money, or our health. I mean, nothing. It all goes back to depending upon God. And this is why that we are launching officially June 3rd this new children program called Reach. Because God has put this in my heart to go after our children and get them in the house of God, to get them on the foundation of God's Word. They're not going to get it missing church. They're not going to get it in a non-Christian home. They're not going to get it when mom and dad are not praying or talking about God. They've got to be here where the Word's being preached. And so we have many parents that are raising children. If this is you, don't get offended. Just take notes. We have many parents that are raising children, but they're not teaching them the things of God, the principles of God, the Word of God, what Jesus says about them. And then when they grow up and they're completely rebellious against God, not all cases. I know there's kids that run. There's kids that are going to find their own way. I understand that. But don't look back and say, what did I do wrong? Did you teach your kids the Word of God? Did you show them who Jesus was? Did you let them know how much Jesus loves them? And that no matter what is out here in the world, it can't compare to what God can give them. No matter what's outside the walls, there's no peace, there's no love, there's no satisfaction in anything that God's hands doesn't build for your lives. It'll all crumble, it'll all fail, and you'll come right back to the starting point of where do I go from here? So it's important, parents, that you teach your kids. The charge you have, the greatest charge, I think, as a mother, is to teach them about God. The greatest charge you have. You know, Proverbs tells us, which applies to mothers, of course, because some don't have fathers in the home. But the Bible in Proverbs says to train a child in the way that it should go. And when he is old, when he is mature, when he is grown, he won't depart from that training. So for a lot of you, it's the moms that do that. Dads aren't a part of your lives, or maybe dads don't do that. So for you as a mom, you tell your kids, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. You always have a friend in Jesus. You never go too far. You can't be redeemed by Jesus. You've never done too much. He won't forgive you. You can never get out there in the streets so deep that the grace of God's not deeper to pull you and rescue you out from the trap. Remind them. Let them always know that if they have nowhere else to turn, if mama dies, Jesus don't. If daddy dies, Jesus lives. No matter who turns away from them, God, you are my source and my strength and my help in every hour of trouble. That's what we need to be teaching our kids, because they're searching for it through drugs, through sex, through partying, through wrong friends, through all kinds of things that do not bring them what they need. But if they know, no matter how many times I fail, God's grace is there to restore me and redeem me. No matter who walks away out of my life or who forsakes me, God, you said I'll never forsake you, but I'll be with you to the end of the earth. That's the promise we have, and our children need to hear that. That's the greatest charge, mothers, you have. And my mom taught me about God, and we prayed together, and she taught me the Word of God, and she sung songs to me as a child. Those songs I grew up on, Jesus loves me, this I know. And she taught, you know, if you're happy and you know it. Remember that old song? We used to all, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Happy and you know it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, stomp your feet, shake your head, roll around, whatever you used to do. We used to sing that song, and I was taught that, and those that don't leave you. Those songs do not leave you. Psychologists said this, and that's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind. I saw something on Facebook today. Somebody posted, it's kind of funny. It says, the zombies are coming after you, but don't worry, they eat brains. Some of y'all get that. So anyway, I thought that's pretty funny. But we have so many people, so many children that are not hearing about Jesus and what His Word says. And we think that it's too late. Let me tell you this, a mother. It's never too late to start being the mother God's called you to be. And for those of you that aren't mothers, let me tell you this, because all of us in here have a mother. We didn't just come from nowhere. We weren't born in a hay wagon or just, you know, all of a sudden, like, you know, Mr. Bean dropped out of the sky. Woo! We all came from a mother. Anybody know who Mr. Bean is?
So funny.
Anyway, we were born. So all of us have a mother. So I want to bring this up too. For some of you, you may have a hard time with your mom. You may be struggling with forgiveness, with bitterness, with anger. And let me just get a little deeper. Let me just dig a little bit, because this is good. This is for healing for some of you this morning. Maybe you're on up in years. I mean, you're on up 50, 60 years old. And maybe you think you've let go of some of those things. But maybe deep inside, there's still some residue of some junk that you just still affects you even today. In your self-esteem, maybe the way you look at yourself, or maybe the way you think about yourself. Let that go and let God heal that. You only have one mother. And when you lose a parent, you begin to realize how important a parent is. Because you've only got one true mother that gave birth to you. And though mothers make mistakes, and though mothers don't always do what's right, and though mothers, we all, you know why grandparents are great parents? They have a second chance. As a parent, you have one chance. And we blow it most times in a lot of ways because of the issues of life and the battles we face. And just you're trying to work, you're trying to provide, you're stretched a million ways. But when you become grandparents, all of a sudden you see that grandchild a little different, don't you? Don't you spank that kid. Are you kidding me? I still got scars from 35 years ago. You're telling me not to spank that kid? My God, I've got your belt in a museum in my home hanging as a reminder. There's been video clips about it. There's a biography on Biography Channel. Are you kidding me? You're telling me not to spank my kid? Now, don't you raise your voice to that. Don't be mean to that kid. Are you kidding me? Dad, really? But see, as a grandparent, it changes. Because we realize a couple of things. We realize, first of all, how fast they grow up. Because as a parent, you can't wait to get them out of the house. I mean, honestly, parents don't think we're ugly. We're not. I mean, we're not. We love our kids, but you know, we're ready for them to be eagles. And don't look back. We love our kids. But we're at a stage, we've got two older ones now that we're like, this is pretty cool. We've got to eat by ourselves and they can stay at home. Like we went to Charleston, you know, and two of them stayed home by themselves. That was great. Wow. I asked Melanie, we're walking down the old historical window, the little trolley, the guy's peddling this romantic. There's love in the air. And I'm looking, you miss the kids? Nope. Me neither. Roll on, driver. Love it. Now we love our kids. But we will not want to start over. But as a grandparent, you begin to recognize, you know, they grow up fast. And you learn, don't you? You learn. And your heart's just different. And I'm not a grandparent yet, and I better not be for a little while until it's legal. But in God's eyes, I mean, not the world. We know what the legal world's views are. We won't get to that this morning. I'm talking about God's eyes. But we learn from our mistakes. So grandparents are great parents because they've learned. They've been through it, and they can kind of start over, and they can do things in a different way. As a parent, you got one shot to get it right. You got one shot. We make a lot of mistakes. But the one thing, mothers, that you should be constant in is the love for your children and remind them how much you love them. Because when they know you love them, when they really feel your love, that's something they can't escape from. They'll put up with all the abuse and the punishment and the discipline and the nagging and the yelling and the grounding and the can't have this, can't go there, all the no's. Don't we hear no as a kid a lot more than we do yes? No, no, can't get no. Can I buy that? Nope. Can I get that? Nope. Can I go there? Nope. We hear that a lot. You know why? Because we love our kids. We just don't let them do anything. Give you an example. Many may not know this, but Mandy is so gracious to take my son to school. And I appreciate that. It saves me a lot of time. She goes to school, and I drop him off here, and she texts me. So she texts Friday, so I had to leave early. I'm sorry. She says, I got another friend of mine that I trust very much. Give him a ride home. You know what I sent Jamie a message about? Mom is there to pick you up. That's what I said. Now, I don't trust Mandy. But in the text, I noticed the word says he is very reliable. He. he behind a wheel at 16, 17, 18 hour old. No, that's fine. Mama will be by to pick you up. Because I can just see Jamie, man. Come on, man. So soon as like, mash that thing down. Hello, are you James Lewis? Yes. No. So mama went and got him. That's the little things that parents must be involved in to say, you know what, I love you and care enough, but that's just something I just feel better if I'm a part of. Now, I know it won't be long. Jamie will be riding with friends at school like I did, and he'll be, my God, driving. And I realize that. But for right now, he's not, he won't, and he can't. So I keep that in place until that time comes. Look at verse 2. It is in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Your children are a heritage, a blessing from God. Now, I want to say this, and this may disagree or whatever with this, but there are absolutely, in my opinion, this is only an opinion, it's not anything I can point the Word of God, this is how I feel about the way feel about my God. There is no child born that is ever a mistake or an accident in God's eyes. Are there unplanned pregnancies? Yes. Unwanted pregnancies? Yes. But unplanned or unwanted children by God? No. Never. They are here, no matter how they come. They are here. They're a life that God still had to blow in the womb to create. And that child is here for a purpose and for a reason. And should I share that quote we saw, or is that not appropriate, the one about an unwanted dead? Is that okay to share that? And this isn't to offend anybody. If you have been through this process, please, it's not to make you feel guilty or condemned. But it's food for thought for us to think about. I saw a quote I thought was really good that said that, was it, an abortion does not mean that you... Abortion does not make you unpregnant. Abortion makes you the mother of a dead child. Think about that. Abortion does not make you unpregnant. It makes you the mother of a dead child. That's pretty deep. Life is precious, and only mothers can care for now. We'll see how this thing goes. But anyway, for right now, mothers are the only ones that can carry a child. And I hope it stays that way. I really do. God gave mothers a special gift. You are the channel of life. You mothers feel things as fathers can't feel. You feel your child moving. You feel the kicks and the movement, the fluttering. You grow with that child. That child has an automatic bond out of the womb because they're connected to your heartbeat for 9 months. It comes out. It has an automatic bond that can't be broken. The greatest bond is between a mother and a child. Melanie is right. Why is it so easy in most cases for a father to walk away and not a mother? There's something about a mother that is instinctively like a bear and his cub. I can't let you go. I'll protect you. I'll fight for you. I'll die. Children are a heritage that God gave us. And with that comes responsibility to train, to teach, to love, to mold, to shape into the image of God. Through our behavior, through our actions, through how we live our lives. You know, Melanie has been the mother that my daughter can grow up one day and become that model of mother. And say I had a good example for a mom. Wasn't perfect, made mistakes, punished me, fussed at me, I got in trouble. But I knew mom loved me. I knew mom loved dad. I'm going to tell you, when my kids are sick at night or they wake up, who do you think goes in their lives with them? It ain't me. I pretend I'm asleep. I mean, they'll come shake me. I'm not going to go around the side of the bed. Oh, honey, where are you going? It's mamas that do that. It ain't daddies. I've seen many times Melanie let go in the middle of the night and lay with Ashley or one of the kids all night long on the couch and not get to sleep half herself. And lay there with them because they were running a fever or sick or had a bad dream. Many times we've done that with you. It's her that does that. Who do you think when there's noise in the house, somebody's, we think, breaking in? Who do you think goes to the door? Mally, see who that is. I got your back. Here, take his baseball bat. Mothers are just, they're different. They're instinctively, intuitively different than men and fathers. And to be a mother is a precious gift. And so I know we take our kids for granted as mothers. They get on your nerves, and but they're there for a purpose and a reason, and God gave you them, and they're your responsibility to teach and to mold and train in the best ways you can as a mother. I've got the mother, my natural mother with me this morning, of course, and I got the mother of my three children, the two women I'm the closest to. Two women that shaped my life. Well, one shaped it, one still shaped it. They're trying to shape it. But it's a joint effort. Yes, it is. But I am a representative and a model of what my mom produced in my life. The security that I have, the confidence that I have, the love that I have, the compassion for others that I have, the right thing with God that I have, can all go back to my mom. I've got things I remember my mother and little things that still today I carry with me. Memories. And you've heard a story, I know, probably every mother's dad say this. But it's something that you think your kids forget things. They don't forget the special moments. There'll be those special moments. Man, if you get, married and grown, you'll reflect back on those special moments. Little things you'll never forget you and your mom did together. Just things that won't mean nothing to anybody else but y'all. But there was a bad thunderstorm in our house when I was a little boy. It was a bad thunderstorm. The wind was blowing, I was scared. Lightning, thunder, and the wind was howling. The pine trees were bending. There was mist and fog in the air. It was dramatic. The ship was tossing. I'm sorry. Anyway, it was a bad storm. And I remember Mom sat me down the hallway, and me and her, we got in the middle of the hallway. It's the safest place in the house, it was a bad storm. Kind of went to the wall, and we were in the middle of the hallway. And she had homemade peanut butter cookies, By the way, I won't see those. Yeah, maybe those are many, many years. She made some homemade. Oh, it's about you today. I'm sorry. She made me some homemade peanut butter cookies. And we sat in the hallway and ate them together until the storm passed. And that gave me such great comfort that she sat with me. We're eating cookies. I was a little boy, and I remember that special moment. Remember the moments I come home from school in trouble? And I did that every now and then. Nothing major. I wasn't a troublemaker. I just got into stuff sometimes. And I would come home, and I would get Mom a seat. Mom stayed home most of the year. Dad was at work. So I didn't see Mom, but I would say, Mom, I said, I got in trouble today, and here's a slip from the teacher. And most times it's stuff like talk too much, won't shut up, disrupt the class, stuff like that. My mouth got duct taped in kindergarten. That's a true story. On Ebenezer School, in kindergarten, she duct taped my mouth and put me in a hall. That's a true story. Now, for some of you mothers, that'd be abuse. My mom probably liked Medea. Hallelujah! Tape out of mouth. Anyway. That there was a time in school we had that kind of, the paddling. I remember the first day of school at Ebenezer, the first day one year I was at Ebenezer, the first day of school, we're getting off the bus, and the principal's outside his office. He's got the wood paddles. We're walking by. He's looking at us like this. What an image that said. I don't want to meet that guy no time soon. Can you imagine doing that now? You parents be like, what are you doing scaring my child? Well, you know what? I never got a paddling. Ever. Anyway, I've got memories I get in trouble from school. I come home. I say, Mom, I said, this happened. Here's a note. And I would say, you have to tell Dad about this. And there were times Mom kept it a secret. But Mom was a very good mom and a very fair mom. And there were times she said, yeah, that's fine. And Mom would spank me. I like Mom spanking because I can make her feel bad. Ow, that hurt. I'm sorry. Dad couldn't hear me. Dad, Mom, help. just totally different. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You grew up that way. But I would tell Mom, and she would say, no, I won't tell Dad. No, sometimes she would say, son, we need to tell Dad, but I'll tell him first, and I'll try to soften it. And she always went before me and went to bat for me to protect me. But now she never let me get by with anything. But there was times she would use a softer hand. And that's what moms do, right? That's why Melanie would tell the kids 22 times to do something. To the point she's boiling over mad. They don't listen to me. Well, I wonder why. They know you've got 21 more times to be told before they want to do it. If I tell them one time, the second time, I'm moving. I'm in action. I'm walking forward with my shoulders forward like Charles Taylor. Yeah, I don't want to have to get up. If I'm on a couch, I'll do. But I ain't got to get out of chair. But that's the difference. And then here's the deal with mothers. Even after Melanie has got to the point of bowling 22 times, and I have to go take action. Now, James, calm down. Don't hurt him. Calm down. Are you kidding me? She tells me to count. James, count. I'm trying to defend her, but she's still trying to be the mother and pull me back. That's what moms do. They're so different than dads. And thank God for the soft hand of mom. Because it's that soft, tender hand that shapes the child's life. You moms, you're very special. Don't give up on your children. No matter what you see them in right now, you will always need to be their mother. Here's one thing that's never changed. My mom, I think my battery went dead. No, turn that handheld up. I think I'm, can y'all hear me? Testing 1, 2. Am I? Okay, sorry. Don't ever give up on your kids. One thing that will never change in my mom, she's changed jobs through the years, changed houses, changed cars, changed hair. Many things. But the one thing that will never change is her position as my mother. She'll always be the same mom to me. Though I'm bigger and balder and older, she is still my mom. To her, I'm still the same little boy in the hallway eating the peanut butter cookies. And let Melanie try to rise up against me and try to hurt me and see what mom, who mom defends. It won't be Melanie. It'll be me. And mom loves Melanie too. And if I was hurting her, she would be on Melanie's side. But if Melanie's hurting me, them bear claws would come out. We were at Myrtle Beach years ago eating at a place called Angelo's Italian Restaurant, Myrtle Beach. Let me make that Angelo's. This was years ago. Supposed to be a buffet bar, but you had to go to this little counter and get a refill on your food. I kept asking for bread. Now, I'm a grown man. Melanie's with me. Do we have kids? I don't have kids. Didn't have kids. It's me and Melanie. We're 93. Been married a year. I'm 22 years old. Married. We're sitting in the restaurant. I kept asking the waiter for bread. Never brought me no bread. I'm a bread eater, church. I like bread. I want bread before the meal, bread during the meal, and bread after the meal. I like bread. And it never would bring me none. The fire, the waiter comes back, and my mom looked at that and says, hey, and she had that snappy kind of, will you get the boy some rolls? That man came back with a basket of bread. Wow, I like this. I'm 22, and my mom's getting me some bread. That's how moms are. They never stop loving you or fighting for you or defending you, ever. So your job is never done as a mother. It's never done. You don't think that my mom still needs her mom? You know, Grandma celebrated a wonderful birthday, her 80th birthday last weekend. Turned 80 years old. Gets around wonderful, drives, gets out in the yard and work. I mean, she's awesome. 80 years old. You think my mom and Loretta and Barbara and Angela, do you think they still need mom? You think that grandma still shapes things in their lives? Of course she does. She never, you think when my mom goes off on vacation with dad, they go off out of town, grandma ain't thinking about, hope they get there safe and, when they're getting back and they should be coming back today. And, she still thinks about all that. I mean, my mom is 49 years old. She still thinks about that. As old as my mother, as mature as my mother is, they think about that. Here's what somebody told me. Somebody told me that when your children get out of the house and you get the empty nest, you just have different problems you worry about. Just different problems. Like when Christian goes off to college, we'll be, wherever she goes, we're not sure yet, but we have different worries, okay? She's driving an hour, two, three, wherever she goes. She's driving on the road. She's away from mom and dad. She's around people that are party people and drinkers and carousers and Casanovas. And did we prepare her enough to be able to say no? Did we prepare enough to resist the wolves out there? who's messing with her, who she's around, what she's doing. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm getting ready to go to bed. I wonder if she's in bed or she out somewhere she shouldn't be, or, you know, what's she doing? Those are uncontrollables we can't control as parents. So it's, don't get all, she's all excited about that. She's over there giddy. She will what? Okay. Our job is not yet done. Oh, my gosh. Oh, me. No guys in here heard that comment, okay? Remember Men in Black, they put the light in, you lose all memories. Everybody look at the flask. But your job's never over. You know, and my mom still worries about me. She worries about our family and my kids. You know, I'm a grown man. I'm in my own house, raising my own family. But mom still calls me and says, what's wrong? I hear something in your voice. You know, what's, you know, you still talk to me. Share with me. What's going on? Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. Depends if I want to share or not. But she's still there for me, and I appreciate that. As mothers, don't ever give up on your kids. Don't ever give up. Teach them, train them, and love them all of your lives. And you will see the fruit of your reward. You're not a mother by accident. Don't let anybody ever tell you that. You're not a mother by accident. It doesn't matter. Even these young girls, you're not a mother by accident. It still took God to create the life. You now have responsibility. Live it to the full. First of all, by training it in God's Word. That's the most important thing in mother's life. Do you realize my mama taught me about all kinds of things and not talk about God, it'd be in vain? And she taught me everything else but God, it'd be in vain. And she taught me how to be a good, see, she really couldn't teach me how to be a good husband.